Things didn't go so well for Jesus when he preached in Nazareth. Now, our text today kind of cuts in the middle of that worship service. Last week was the first part, today's the second part. And if you weren't here last week, the text is that Jesus is given the dais to read from the scroll, and it's the Isaiah reading, and so he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The report is that everyone is enthralled. What good news is this? And someone asks, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Now, some commentators, scholars, believe this is this Joseph's son? What's he doing telling us? Or, is this Joseph's son? I think it's the latter. The congregation is pleased with what they've heard, and it's been delivered by one of their own. He's one of ours. And by implication, we are his. The community identity there of that day. We're his people. Surely this means we're going to be the beneficiaries of this good news. You can understand why they're so excited, can't you? Jesus responds to this question, though, and their response to the good news, with some hard, scathing truth. He says, as Marilyn has read, "There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, but Elijah was sent to none of them except the widow of Sidon. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah, but none of them were cleansed except the Syrian general Naaman." With these two examples, Jesus calls to their mind that day, their long and sometimes ugly history, when they'd rejected the prophetic word and lived in a way counter to God's word. Elisha and Elijah weren't the only ones to preach hard sermons. Isaiah preached prophetically, Jeremiah, Micah, the whole NAS part of our First Testament has a list of prophetic books. Amos upbraided them for sprawling on beds of ivory and composing songs and drinking wine and not being heartbroken about the ruin of Joseph. So they were headed to exile, he said. Ezekiel told them, "They were worse than Sodom for their callousness to the poor and for abandoning deep hospitality." And all of these voices were rejected by the forebears of these folks in Nazareth. Jesus perceived their assumption, I believe, that this good news was just for them. Not just Nazareth, but for the chosen of God of whom they were citizens. That they were to be released. They were to be given sight. They were to be freed from oppression. With no thought of others. Jesus wanted to shake their complacency and their assumptions, to reawaken them to the dynamism of God's word, to its ever-relevant revelation and its expansiveness and inclusivity. If we have any questions about inclusivity, all we have to do is read the Old Testament in entirety, not just one little verse. So Jesus reminds these good Nazarenes that the people of Israel were resistant to prophets, hardened to messengers of God's word, and God merciful and ready to aid the outcasts, the unchosen, as it were. Jesus does the same. Jesus reminds them that God is not confined to their small theology, their privilege as chosen. This enrages them to the level of murder. They did not take kindly to being reminded how unreceptive, arrogant, and inclusive they'd been and were. Jesus brought a hard truth to them, and they choked on it. Rage fired up in them, and they took Jesus in hand and pushed him to the precipice. Not the outcome most preachers want on a Sunday morning. Prophetic words are seldom welcomed. I think of Al Gore trying to warn us about global warming so many, many years ago. Prophetic words come when something big is amiss and needs remedy. When a people need to realign their relationship with God the Almighty. It's important for us to note that not all prophetic words come through preachers or spiritual leaders either. Like Al Gore, sometimes the prophet delivers what we might consider a secular sermon. I heard such a one this past Sunday as I was driving home, listening to the TED Radio Hour and hearing philosopher Peter Singer talk about effective altruism. Are you familiar with him? You might go look him up. You might look up the TED Radio Hour and press that little button with him. He questions the moral validity of spending $40,000 to train a guard dog and owner, one guard dog, one owner, when $20 to $50 could cure a particular blindness that plagues people of the third world. I can't remember now what he said, how many people, that 20 or 50, but it isn't one individual, it's like 600. When 6.9 million children in 2014, I think it was, under the age of five, died of preventable poverty-related diseases. I didn't like what he was telling me. I couldn't get his words out of my mind, though. They've struck me to the core, and they didn't feel good. Now, I don't subscribe to all he said, but what I want to bring forward today is that when something like this is spoken and snags at something we don't want to hear, we need to listen anyway. We need to let those words work on us. We need to sit with them. Sit with them before God. Pray, is this message, is this word for me? Certainly we want and we need the comfort and soft gaze of Jesus. But we also need to hear and hold near the jealous righteousness of God, the energy and urgency of God, and take to heart God's corrective speech, no matter who delivers it. We are called, if we call ourselves a God person, to be receptive to God's new, fresh, holy word, which isn't so new, it's just long forgotten. We must allow the word of God to seep in and change us, to awaken us to our out-of-sortness, to cause us to weep with regret and longing. We here in America are not so far removed, cousins, from those Nazareth residents. We who have named ourselves the Christian nation have a lot to account for. And there are voices, Christian and otherwise, who are speaking truth to us today. It's breaking out all over. It's upsetting us. Some pockets welcome some prophetic words because they think, well, that's for you. But they're deaf to the word coming to them. I think we can be guilty of that. I think I can be guilty of that. Let's take the story in Luke to heart. Let us not harden our hearts out of fear or rage at what we know to be true. But let us be soft, ready to hear, willing to repent, and truly change. I've had to reckon with what's enough this week because of those words from Singer. what I want, do I need? What I want, do I need? And what am I robbing someone else of out of my want? It's not just economic, it's all over, you know. So let us be people, this church, us, let us be people who are prophetic hearers of the word. Amen.